Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there's a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Summer is upon us, and you know what that means, lots of tropical cocktails. So, I will focus for the next couple of months, like I did last summer, on bartenders who specialize in these kinds of drinks, tropical, tiki, etc. What's the etc.? Well, we'll find out over the course of the next couple of months. It's Mo's tropical summer, so get ready for an exotic getaway of the cocktail variety via the Music and Booze with Mo podcast. Today we talk to Roberto Verdesia. We are bringing you the islands, the island of Puerto Rico. Roberto is the co-founder of Colectivo Icaro and the co-owner of Jungle Bird and La Factoria in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So we talked to him about all kinds of things. Salsa music, we talked about rum, we talked a lot about rum. We talked about making your way on the island and how you have to work with what you have. We had a really lovely chat, so let's sit down and take a listen. Let's do this, see if it's recording. Okay, so I don't know if I should ask you about music or booze first, but really what we should do is just tell everyone who you are. Tell us who you are and where you work.
Okay, I'm part of Icaro, Colectivo Icaro, that has La Factoria, Jungle Bird, Caneca, and Surf Cafe. That's in all that is in Puerto Rico.
We also are they all over Puerto Rico, or is this just San Juan?
It's just in San Juan.
San Juan. Okay.
It's easier for us to run around.
Yeah.
And then we have a production kitchen that is called Licoreria Miramar.
Oh wow!
And we make all the prep for all our bars, and then we sell to hotel bars and restaurants.
Oh really? So does this mean that the your group is sort of leading a craft cocktail kind of movement?
Yes.
Down in Puerto Rico at this time, in a sense. If you guys are making all these the syrups and the tinctures and all of that, and you're providing them to other folks, that's kind of cool.
Yes.
So how long have you been in this business?
With Licoreria Miramar.
Well, I guess how long have you been a bartender?
In the industry, I've been for 16 years.
Really?
You look like you're like 22 years old.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well, it's the Latin thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I say that as a Latin, I can get away with it. But no, you look very young, so that's amazing. Did you start when you were 5?
No. I started when I was 16.
Okay.
And because I was a bar back at that moment, and then I fall in love with the bartending thing, like a year after I start bartending.
Yeah.
And like maybe 4 or 5 years after that, I took classes and everything, and I'm like falling in love, like completely.
Yeah.
I end college, and I never took a, I stopped arts, drawing. And then I never took a pen again. I'm like trying to get that back now.
Yeah. But why did you fall in love with bartending? What was it about it?
I was very, very, very extremely shy.
Oh, really?
So behind the bar, because of the bar,
yeah,
I feel totally different. And I feel different. I can express myself, and it was totally different ambience and everything. So.
Yeah.
Well, you're
in control there too, and that bar is—it's a barricade in a way.
Yeah.
So you're safe on the other side of that bar.
Correct.
So, and the people on the other side, more often than not, they don't know what you're going to give them, and maybe that's part of it. I did radio, so it was a similar thing. No one saw me; they couldn't see my face. So, well, when I was doing radio, there were no webcams, so I had a big microphone and this, but I could just imagine who was out there. And they would call sometimes, and that was weird. But so you loved that. So you found yourself
doing that. And I, after that classes, I took another one and another one. I started competing at everything that I can. So, yeah, definitely.
So you started competing in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So what was the scene like? I mean, this would have been 10 years ago or something like this? Or when did you start competing?
I started competing in 2008.
Yeah? Yeah, so like 10 years ago.
Yeah. 11, actually. So, yeah, it was nothing like now.
Yeah. Were you competing just in Puerto Rico? Or did you
just in Puerto Rico. And my first competition that I won and I went outside of Puerto Rico, it was 2011. So at the moment, I was like working, trying to... I saw the competitions not to won, just to learn.
Yeah.
And to try
to challenge yourself, right?
So because of the shyness, I was very shaky on stage, and I'm like, so that helped me out a lot on my presentation thing. Mm-hmm. And then I started competing in this global thing. I won. I went to India in 2011 to represent Puerto Rico.
Oh my God!
I thought, okay, if I won this, I could start reading a lot, and maybe I can win this and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as I get there, I realized that I was never gonna win that.
Yeah.
So I was trying to learn as much as possible, bring it back to the island so the next person can stood out a little bit more, and maybe in a couple of years, so it will happen. And I got back. I started working with the distributor there in Puerto Rico to try to do something to express what is happening outside.
Yeah.
And they say yes after a couple of months of
discussing.
So, and I started making, not seminars, but like...
Seminars like to educational?
Yes, education.
Oh, okay.
And nothing special, but teaching people how to look outside and how to learn from the outside to bring it back to the island.
So what kind of thing were you, and this is without leaving the island, to look outside. So what kind of things were you teaching them?
Internet was great.
Internet is free.
Yes.
Just having them study, like, before, look up other recipes, get ideas.
At least in my mind, before all this, people see cocktails as, I don't know, 10 different martinis in the list, and 10 different mojitos and different flavors of same things. I'm like, guys, old-fashioned is great.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's amazing. The daiquiri is not frozen. So.
Yeah, you are right next to, like, Cuba, which is the birthplace of the daiquiri, so.
So that's the point that I wanted to bring back. Like, you should start looking at this side of bartending, not to the other side.
Yeah. Well, you're in Puerto Rico. This is a land of rum. There are, how many rums do you know are there in Puerto Rico? I mean, there are some that have made it here to the States, obviously. you know, that are big names?
Now, well, back in the day, like in 2010, I'd say, they were just Puerto Rican drums. Mm-hmm. You cannot, it was very difficult to get other drums. Because when cocktail scenes started growing up, everything else followed back. So rum industry, whiskey industry, and the liquor industry, everything else
it came.
Starting to get bad. Mm-hmm. Even when we opened La Factoria in 2013, we didn't have rye whiskey in Puerto Rico. And bourbon was very little portion of it. The gin, it was like commercial gins only, big names, but not like craft things or unique things.
Yeah.
Now we have, I think, more than we need. So we have a lot of things. But rum, I think, still under what we want. But at the same time, the public doesn't consume as much.
As much rum?
Yes.
Well, you have a lot of tourists that come through too, I'm sure. So what do Puerto Ricans want to drink?
Me? I drink rum. I love
rum. Well, you. But, like, when people come to your bar, Puerto Ricans drinking...
They drink rum, but that's by name, and they like light rum. Now it's starting to change a little bit, and people are asking, instead of asking for, a Don Q Cristal, they're asking for a Don Q Añejo or a Gold or something more.
So starting to kind of appreciate, learn and appreciate.
So, like, there are other brands that are coming in, like Foursquare, they just came in, like, don't know, like, maybe in January this year. So, yeah, it's growing little by little. They're bringing rums from other places and understanding that it's not just rum with sugar.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more than that.
When you just said that you drink rum, so a question I ask a lot is, when you're home, now a lot of bartenders, when you're home, just drink a beer and nothing, you know. So when you're home, do you sip on rum? Is that like you're relaxing or no?
Not a regular thing. It's like when I'm relaxing, like to enjoy, and at the end of the day, just to chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a sip of rum.
What kind of rum is it?
I love Don Cugar Añejo. I love Foursquare. I love, I don't know, like, I age
now
rum.
They have those down there.
Yes.
And so,
Now it's like, we have it over here. It's not a secret thing anymore. But yeah, it's...
Before you had to travel. You had to do one of those competitions to bring a bottle back with you.
But yeah,
what are you
Appleton
listening to?
Also. Oh, yeah.
And which one?
Appleton.
Appleton? Oh, yes. Appleton is so wonderful. Great. Any of the Appletons are just so wonderful. When you're sitting at home doing that, are you listening to music as well?
Of course.
See?
Of course.
See, now this is how we can get to the other part.
Oh, because
you don't make music.
No.
You do... You just do the thing. You listen to music, and I'm gonna guess you probably can dance too.
After three cocktails, I dance better.
I don't know. It's like, but it's true. After a couple cocktails, almost everyone dances.
I dance salsa, but because of peer pressure, not because I'm a dancer and I move and everything. Yeah.
So then, what are you listening to when you're sipping your rum if you want to relax?
Ooh,
Is it anything I've heard of? It might not be.
Yeah,
there's a lot of music out of Puerto Rico, so...
I love salsa. Mm-hmm. I love,
What are some artists that you're listening to?
I love Hector Lavoe.
Oh, that's old school.
Yes.
Oh.
That's salsa for me.
I agree.
The new salsa is totally different, and... Yeah,
Wasn't there a movie about him, Hector Lavoe?
Yes, with Mark Anthony.
Did Mark Anthony do that? Was that the Mark Anthony, Jennifer Lopez one?
Yes. Yeah.
But I know that he's... Cante. Yes. I know that he was a huge fan of Hector Lavoe.
Yes.
So, that's nice. That's good stuff. Rum and you're listening to Hector Lavoe. So you are like,
Roena. There's a lot
you're like a 60-year-old man trapped in like a 20-something looking body. I'm not complaining. It's kind of funny. No, awesome. Tell me some more, because this is the salsa I know. Like, okay. The modern salsa, it's fine. It's out there. It's fun. You know, I'm not dissing any of that because it's always fun. But I love that. I feel like that heyday was like the 50s, 60s. They're kind of the New Yorican stuff. Mm-hmm. I love the New Yorican stuff. It's so fun.
That is salsa for us. Like, there's a bunch. I don't know. I'm not saying that the new salsa is bad.
It's but different. It's different. Exactly.
And I love the salsa from that days, like
that era.
Yeah, it's great for me.
I think it's a difference too between it
and the boleros they played. It's like,
oh, yeah. You just got all sexy eye. The older stuff just feels more organic, I think. You know, I think you can visualize more in your mind with the band playing and just the smoke in the air and all.
And I think that at the end, back that days, they don't expect it to be superstars.
That's true. They
expect it just to sing and do whatever they want to do and sing, but they become superstars. And they didn't know that. They didn't realize that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's totally the opposite. They expect it to be a superstar. They don't get there, and it's difficult. It's different. So for me, it's that organic part that you were saying about. Mm-hmm. It's like made salsa that day is like unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, there's a couple. There's a Cuban band. I don't remember. I'm very bad with. I told you this. I'm very bad remembering the names of the
you
band.
Know, that just means I'm going to make you sing.
Yeah.
You're still trying to get over the shyness. And believe it or not, I was very shy as well. I was very shy. And I didn't even talk to people until I was like 12 or 13 years old. It used to make my Colombian mother very upset because she thought that I was angry all the time. But I didn't want to talk to people.
Okay.
So it's a thing I think you've probably encountered where you have to kind of make yourself, you're aware. You can do this. Just get up there and just do that. And at some point, you're just doing it. So I might have to make you sing. If it's a Cuban band, are they new or are they old?
They're new.
They're new?
That's why I'm...
So you can find it on your phone then?
Yes.
Okay, I look it up on your phone.
I was in Cuba a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And
are you allowed to go to Cuba? Because you're Puerto Rico. You're not quite...
Now?
You're American,
with
but
Obama,
you're not American.
With Obama.
Oh, so you're still under the same. That's when I went to Havana was the same. It was when Obama was president. We could just...
Yes,
push.
But now they changed it a little bit. Now you have 12 different categories that you can go to the Cuba. So I went into professional research.
Ooh,
because
good.
Of daiquiri and the mm-hmm. mojito and all that thing. So I went
to
that.
So you went to Floridita and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went to...
And you saw that they have slushy daiquiris. You're like, no.
I went to La Boquita del Medio and the singer of the band was there. Singing with the band that is in La Boquita del Medio.
Yeah, so that place is so tiny. And it's like you've just said it properly with the proper Spanish accent, and now I can't even say it in English. But it's supposedly the birthplace of the mojito. They argue about this, I know. But I do remember going there, and there was a band playing, and I thought it was really funny that they had a band playing because I think you can only fit about 15 people in that place.
Yes, that's
and good. Then five of them were the band, and they were huge Cuban guys. They were like big guys with the cello and the, you know, or not cello, with a stand-up bass. Uh-huh. And I remember sitting there having my drink, and one of them was flirting with me while he was playing. Because I was just by myself. I was sitting by myself, and he looks over, and he's like, hey, winking at me and all this. I'm all, you guys never stop. You never stop. They can't help it, you know. It was great fun. But you knew the band already, and then you happened to see the singer?
Yeah, I was there just... I know the band. I didn't hear the music completely like I was up here. Mm-hmm. But I was there. I saw the guy. I'm like, I think he's a singer from a band I know.
That I like.
And I checked it. And yeah, it was him. And I met him in the airport when I'm on my way back.
Oh, my God.
And it
that's
was
incredible.
Like, yeah. And I saw him in Puerto Rico like a couple months before that.
Yeah.
And I saw that he was... You're a singer. I don't know where from. You're a singer. So yeah. So it was like.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
you're
is.
Meant to be with that band, and you can't even remember what they're called.
Yes, sorry.
That's
sorry
hilarious.
For that. It's not.
You're not finding it in there.
I'm not finding it.
We're gonna do homework, and you're gonna get back to me on that because I have to know now. That's too funny. If you found a band that you love this band, can't remember their name, but you keep seeing the singer everywhere. Well, you can keep looking, but we can switch back to you and booze. And because that might be a little easier for you. Yeah. So have you, you're basically, you also feel you're sort of educating Puerto Ricans too, right? With what you're doing? Because
Or
do you think Puerto Ricans were already ready for craft cocktails?
Not all of them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, they just want to drink a beer and that's okay. In Factoria, like the first, when we start is, we're a cocktail bar, but if somebody comes in and wanted just a beer, we can serve that with the same approach.
I think all good bars should be that way.
Yes.
All should good bars be like, if you want to come in and have a nice cocktail, we can do that for you. But if you just want to come in and sit down and have a beer and a shot, have a beer and a shot. That's what all the bartenders do, you know? So you're more than welcome to do that. So, but I was wondering, since you said you've been competing for a while, I think that means that there have been decent cocktails floating around Puerto Rico for quite some time.
As you think that, but I was learning. I was learning a lot. I understood as soon as I start getting my mind and my information from outside, what is happening outside, I stopped using like things like, I don't know, grenadine and blue curacao and
you
all
tried
those
making
things.
It.
Yes, making my own. So that was the thing I was trying to not teach. I will not say
you were teaching yourself as well.
I was teaching myself that, but I was just wanting to put a seed inside of every bartender that look outside, look and learn from outside. Mm-hmm. So
what are some things that you've learned, like in the last 10 years, that have really? I mean, there have to be a couple things you're like, oh my god, I'm so glad that I figured this out. You know what I mean? Like you said, you stopped using grenadine. That's pretty major.
We make our own now.
Right? And it's actually not that hard to make your own grenadine, but people don't think about it. But when you try that versus Rose's grenadine, you're like, why on earth is anybody even using that other stuff? So that counts. That's one thing. You're like, why have we been doing this? It could be so much better. Oh, actually, here's a question for you. So I've never been to Puerto Rico, which is something I would love, love, love to do. And especially, I really would love to do it.
I have something for you. We have a Puerto Rico Cocktail Week from November 3 to the 9th. So
November 3rd to the 9th. I actually already have I can tell you I'm working the 3rd and 4th of that weekend in Anaheim. But I don't know what, and I would love to go support it now, especially because I know you guys are still rebuilding.
Yes.
You'll be rebuilding for a long time. I mean, I lived in the United States and we had a terrible earthquake in San Francisco and it took years to recover from that. And that's living in California. So you guys don't have quite the same luxury. So you should, but you don't. And politics, just a little bit. But what is the, like fruits and vegetables, all of this, do you guys have a whole different kind of agriculture there? Do you grow year round? Does this help you as a bartender? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, because I'm from Southern California where we have oranges and we have amazing fruit growing all the time. Mm-hmm. So the drinks can be incredible because you have these great new ingredients to try all the time, you know, move things through seasonally. Do you guys have that kind of thing in Puerto Rico?
No.
No?
Because
you're an island.
This is because we were using grenadine and all these things. It's because in Puerto Rico, almost everything is imported. Like 8 years ago.
Because you're an island.
Yes. Like 8 years ago, they make a study, and like 8 or 9 years ago, they make a study on that, and they say that we're just producing 3% of what we consume.
Oh my God!
They say if we something happened to us and we don't have communication with any.
You mean like something that happened like a year ago? Yeah.
Like yeah. So
like hurricanes and things.
We just have supplies for 2 weeks. Then this is including cans, dog food, everything.
And is this just because it's sort of the way it's been set up as a territory?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jones Act, we have to put everything through there. And also the agriculture part of Puerto Rico was just blacked out because when back in the, 60s and 70s and 80s, people that has a big agriculture thing going on in Puerto Rico, they send their kids to the college to study, I don't know, doctor, lawyers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't want you to.
Everybody moved to New York.
Yeah. And then we don't have that agriculture back. So now, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, they're starting to, little by little, new agriculture parts are growing and growing. So that makes us now, I can source lime, now I can source mint. In Puerto Rico, La Factoria is huge and it consumes a lot. So we consume, I don't know, like maybe 15 cases of lime for a week, every week.
Wow.
So none of the agriculture in Puerto Rico can supply
that.
So we were always bringing some from outside. Now there is, the agriculture part is there. So now we can use the fresh
ingredients. Wow, that's kind of insane to think about, because you would think that...
And it's expensive also.
I'm sure, yeah. Because, I mean, anyone who's not been to Puerto Rico, think of it as Hawaii. All right? Hawaii goes through similar issues in their estate, but everything has to be imported to them as well. They do have a lot of things there. So that's very challenging, especially considering, you know, you're Puerto Rico. People want to go there and have mojitos and daiquiris. That's what they expect. And if you don't have limes on the island, that's going to be an expensive drink.
Yes.
So... that I can see how that would be challenging. But that makes me think that you guys should have some really amazing stirred cocktails.
Yes. Yes.
And no.
Yeah, yeah. Because you still have to import some of that booze.
Yeah.
So what kind of like rum old fashions do you guys have? You know what I mean? That seems like a logical step to do that sort of thing.
One of the best selling cocktail in La Factoria is a lavender mule.
Lavender mule?
Yes.
It's ooh.
We make a lavender syrup. We deconstructed the ginger beer, make a lavender syrup, a ginger tea, and lime juice. Mix it together with vodka, and it's very good.
Wow.
So,
and it's a vodka drink.
Yes.
Well,
but it works with rum and tequila also.
Oh, I'm sure. And mules, you can swap out the booze. If you've got that base right, swap it all out. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And the second best, the second best seller is an old fashioned. And those actually was the first two cocktails on the list when we opened. The old fashioned is Don Cugra Añejo, the dry spices syrup, and the blend of bitters that we made.
Wow.
And it's beautiful.
Amazing. Sounds incredible.
It is very good.
So I'll go back to the music side of things. So what do you guys, what music are you playing in the bars?
You know, this is for me, I love music. I'm always wanting to hear something. For sleeping, if I'm quiet down, I cannot sleep because I don't hear anything. So I put music like
in the background.
Yeah, in the background. not like just in the background. But
so you're very good at mood music then.
Yes.
You want party music? You want sleepy music? It sounds like you've got it dialed in.
So Factoria, my other partner Pablo, he runs the music side of La Factoria, and he has been in the industry of music for years and years, like, I don't know, like 20 years now.
So you've learned from him a little bit.
Yes. I learned that, I know this, but he put it to the next level, like, the music in La Factoria, everybody, they're really, like, talking about the cocktails, at some point, the cocktails, it was forgetting, like...
Because they like the music?
Yeah, look at the music, I love this song and all. So yeah, the music became like a big thing in La Factoria, and it grew up very, very fast. The music, and we have a live band on.
I was going to say, do you have dancing and live? Okay, so you guys are full on.
Yes, we have a band. It's called La 51, and it's.
Is this a Puerto Rican band or just a neighborhood?
It's La Factoria band, actually.
Oh! Oh! Wow!
We found this.
That's cool.
Pablo knows a lot of people.
Yeah.
So, we found Tempo Alomar. He was he played the timbales with Hector Lavoe and all those people.
Oh, so you were really into meeting him.
as a young kid.
Yeah.
So now he's like the director of the band.
Oh, that's cool.
And he bring in people that was playing with him through the whole years, all those years. He brought in for a couple of months Hector Lavoe. That would be not good.
I know, I was going to say.
Roberto Roena.
Oh wow!
Playing with them, it was great. It is
amazing.
Great every day, like every weekend. Like they play in Sundays and Mondays, and they're on point.
Incredible!
It is amazing.
So you're like, I'm making drinks. We've got the best band ever playing while I'm there. That's incredible. So is it music? Is there music every night?
Yes.
We
have playlists, but they play live on just Sundays and Mondays.
Why Sundays and Mondays?
Because
that's the
nothing,
beginning of the week.
Yes, but it's nothing happening around. So
really?
No.
So people
not that
will
much,
go out.
Not that much. Not that much. Usually, Mondays there are a lot of restaurants and bars closed. So we wanted to set up and do something different. So that's it.
So if you had your own bar, because I know you get to run these, but if you had your own bar, tell me your fantasy bar. no, nothing's holding you back. You can have whatever booze in there. It just happens to be there, all of this stuff. What kind of bar would you have?
I will go crazy nuts. I would do something totally different. I don't know.
I mean, would you have a quiet little bar? Would you have like a crazy dance bar? Would you just
Factoria
well, is a crazy dance bar. But what do you want?
No, I wouldn't. We never thought that Factoria would be a crazy.
A crazy.
Never. We thought it would be like a
and
quiet.
And that's what it became. So you were going for a quiet bar. So
yes.
That makes me think that probably you want a little quiet bar.
Yeah, we want to do like a special treatment cocktails, like thinking out of the box and
yeah.
Do something different. That's what we wanted to do, and that's what I wanted to do mm-hmm. at some point. And we want to do that with at some point with one of the rooms in the Factoria. Just make maybe it was one day of the week or something.
And just have it be a small,
cool. quiet place. Mm-hmm. Even also Jungle Bird, we wanted to make that same vibe. Mm-hmm. It's more kind of a restaurant mm-hmm. instead of a bar. Factoria is more a bar than a restaurant.
Yeah, it's a party place.
Yes. and then also Pax, our chef in Jungle Bird. He's been awarded this year as Best New Chef by Food & Wine, so
wow.
It exploded. The food, he cooks incredibly good.
Oh, that's
it's
wonderful.
Amazing.
Wonderful,
food,
especially
yes.
with what you have, you yes. know, working with that.
So,
that's incredible.
Yeah,
so you're going to have your bar for a moment anyway.
Yeah.
You'll have that little room. All right, so I actually have to run. So thank you so much for making the time to come up here.
No.
But before we go, if we want to tell people anything, is there an Instagram they should follow? What's your website for which place? If someone's going to Puerto Rico and they want to find you, they want to come to your bars, where should they look for you?
First of all, mm-hmm. I found the name of the band.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yes. Did you text someone?
Yes.
You're like, what is the band?
Yes.
It's
I'm
like,
very bad with names.
No. I love that you called the lifeline, but we just did it quietly. It's like a game show.
Yes.
And I always say I'm terrible on game shows. If you ask me that question, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, me neither.
Even if I have the answer tattooed on me.
I remember faces and cocktails.
Yes, same.
So
same.
I don't remember usually the names.
We'll be better with names because we sat here for a while, but same.
So it's Gente de Zona.
What is it? Gente?
Gente de Zona.
Oh, de Zona.
Yes.
Okay, Gente de Zona. Okay, I'm going to remember that because I'm going to look for it and see if I can find
great.
Anything.
Good.
So where can people find you?
Okay, my personal Instagram is Water Cocktail.
Is what?
Water Cocktail.
Water?
Yes.
Like agua, but water in
yeah.
English?
Yes.
Water Cocktail.
Water Cocktail.
Okay.
And then...
at Water Cocktail.
In Facebook is Roberto Redesia.
Mm-hmm.
And then Factoria is La Factoria.
It's La Factoria.
La Factoria mm-hmm. PR. PR.
I didn't say PR. It's all right. You speak Spanish as a first language.
Yes.
You can do that.
And then Jungle Bird is Jungle Bird Bar.
Okay.
And
those up.
Yeah, that was
wonderful. That's great. Oh, okay. And then one more question. What is your favorite Puerto Rican rum? It doesn't. It's okay if it's not available here. So when people go there. Or is that a hard question to answer? There are so many.
It's not. I've said it already. Don Cu
Granejo. It's the Don Cu Granejo. That's
and
right.
Then, but now they're putting out some Finnish cask.
Oh, that Olorosa? Is that
yes,
what it is?
They have an Olorosa
I tried that
one
last
and the Vermouth
night.
One. They're very good.
I tried the Olorosa
and they're
one
They're
going
to release another one soon.
It's really good. And those are available in the States.
Yes.
They will be. So lucky for everyone listening. There. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
And safe travels.
Much thanks to Roberto for bringing True Tropics to the podcast today, all the way from San Juan, Puerto Rico. If you are in that part of town, I recommend you be there on a Sunday or a Monday so you can check out the amazing bands at La Factoria. And also you want to check out Jungle Bird, which does some really wonderful tropical and tiki stylings with their cocktails. I've seen them do pop-ups around, and it's really, really good stuff. So, thank you for being here, and he did, of course, put together a very eclectic Spotify playlist for us. So if you go to the Moherm's Facebook page, you can get a link to that Spotify playlist, unless you're already signed up for it. So thank you very much for tuning in. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.